for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 7th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Mazzulla is the speaker of the afternoon. It's just been a privilege to have Brother Frank and his wife here, and the ministry that the Lord has given Frank. We appreciate it here. And, of course, if he weren't here, well, Irma and I would have to be, and Doc would have to be doing all of the week, but we're only going to have to take the last tail end of it here now. Frank's done so well, I wish he'd went home next Monday instead of tomorrow. But anyway, we appreciate the ministry that the Lord has given to him to minister to us these days. And it's been a blessing and is a blessing. And we appreciate him and his wife.
Thank you very much.
Brother Frank.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you again for another opportunity to speak your word and to share with your family the things you put on my heart. I ask that you bless them today. You know why they came and you know what they need. Supply that need, for I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to talk about this afternoon is using your will in healing and in deliverance. The importance of your will. You know, some people say, the devil made me do it. Well, maybe. I always say, you know, 90% of the time you want to do what you want to do because you like doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Amen? And you're not going to cast that out at all. You have to die to the old nature. And again, some people keep going around the same mountain time and time again, never seeming to get the victory. And I ask them, do you read your Bible every day? Well, not really. Do you have a church that you go to? Well, I'm looking for a church. Well, what they're doing is looking for the perfect church. And, of course, as soon as they join it, it's no longer perfect. Do you pray every day? Well, I pray, you know, sometimes. See, what's happening? Their will has not been disciplined. See, you have to use your will. And even though it is God's will that you be prosperous, God's will that you be fruitful, blessed, healed, there are certain things that you have to do. Amen? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Verse 10 to 15. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, and I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. See, we are to show the same diligence as Father Abraham. Nowhere in the Word of God does it find any statement suggesting that you can sit around doing nothing, knowing nothing. That's a good word, isn't it? Doing nothing, and that you will expect God to bless you anyway. There are certain things you have to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You either say amen or oh my, one or the other. I want to know where you stand. If you belong to Christ, as the scripture said, you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to his promise. And what is the promise of Abraham? That you be blessed. You be fruitful. Amen. That you will live a good long life. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 to 11, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep, so shall your poverty come upon you like a robber, and your need like an armed man. In other words, doing something about your situation, doing nothing about your situation, will get you nowhere fast. You have to do. Yes, God will supply all your needs, but there are certain requisites. There's something you have to do. Amen? We have to obey God's laws to be fruitful. We must be a doer of the word, not a sayer only. We must put his word into practice. Jesus said in John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me, come on, you all know that, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, what does it mean to abide in, if you abide in me? If you are right in me, if you are spiritually, if we commit spiritual matrimony, if you live in me, and my word abides, that means it's alive. It's not a dead word. Because you do what the word says. See, you can have a dead word in the Bible and you don't do what it says. It's dead to you. Isn't that right? So, but if it's alive, well, then you're going to do it. That's why he says, if you live in me and my word is activated in you, it's alive in you, then you shall ask what you will. Then, see, it's conditional. Then it shall be done unto you. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, once we begin to see these laws and put them into practice, they will produce the desired results. We must do our part. And it starts where? With your will. You must will. Amen? I remember one time I was ministering in Miami in a Spanish church. And we had a prayer line. And this little Spanish woman, she was about so big. I love to pray for anybody shorter than me. There's not many people that short. And she was legally blind. And I said to her, do you believe that Jesus Christ can heal you? She said, oh, yes. Then I said, do you believe that a man with glasses can pray for you? Okay? She said, yes. I said, well, all right, now I'm going to pray for you. And I put my hands on her eyes, and I said, Lord Jesus, she belongs to your body, and the blood, your blood flows through your body. Let your precious blood wash her eyes, cleanse them and purify them. I ask this in your precious name. That's the prayer I said. I've been praying and using the blood of Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit tells me to incorporate the blood of Jesus in my prayer. Okay? And I said to her, do you see that cross in the back of the church? She said, no. I said, I want you to walk up this aisle until you get, and you can see the cross and read the inscription, the name of the church underneath the cross. So she went there and she was about, oh, as far as I am from the flag. I said, can you see it? She said, just barely. Can you read it? No, I can't. I said, you stay right there until he opens your eyes. And I turned around and walked back and started ministering to the other women. No, as far as I was, you know, she could be there for 5 years. But she obeyed. Now listen, she obeyed. Not only that, but she expected. This was very important. She expected. All of a sudden, I see her turn around, and she ran down that aisle, and she threw her arms around me. She said, you healed me, you healed me, you healed me. I said, no, I didn't. It was the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. I said, glory to God. See, she believed. And because she believed, she received. But more than that, she had to make up her mind. Am I going to stand there like a fool or what? Amen. This woman believed. She waited, and it happened. Some people want instant service. They call on their heavenly butler. You ever call on your heavenly butler? Get the telephone, dial heaven. Hello, is this you, God? This is me down here. This is Frank. Well, I got a laundry list here. Just a minute, God. I've got to take it out. My wife needs this, and my son needs this, and I need this, and I had this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Thank you, God. Bye. And God turns to Angel Gabriel and said, Gabe, come over here. Do you see what he did? He never gave me a chance to talk to him. He does that all the time. He gives me his laundry list, and then he shuts the phone. That's the way we pray sometimes. My, you're quiet. Guarantee you're not going to go to sleep on me this afternoon, like Bill said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many here would like to be successful and prosperous? All right. Let's see what the Word says. Come on, there's a word in Joshua chapter 1. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. You probably already know it. And verse 8. We're going to read it together. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is right after Deuteronomy, verse 8. Let's read. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, you have to meditate in it. See, what do we do about this word? Is it from God? Well, then we have to do something about it if it's from God. We have to accept the word. We have to meditate on the word. We have to act on the word. But that takes an effort of your will. You have to will. See, the results are prosperity and success. And we have to get back to the basics to receive the promises that are written for us. I have a favorite proverb, and it belongs to me. I don't want anybody to take it. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want everyone to say it. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Demons your enemies?
Amen.
See or no?
Yes.
Is sickness an enemy?
Yes.
If a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, you get right with the Lord. You die to the old nature. You don't have to worry about deliverance once that happens. You don't even have to come to Lake Hamilton to get delivered if you're really dead. If you're really dead. How many here are dead besides me? Lord, forgive me, Lord. No, I'm not dead yet. Thank God I'm not dead yet. I'm striving to be dead to the old nature. I'm working on it. You know, Paul had a pretty hard time with it, too. Paul said in Romans, he said, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. Is that right? But blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have the victory. Hallelujah. Now, there are prerequisites to victory. You make a decision. I am going to win. See, you can get away with just Sunday service, but there's more. There's more if you want more. There's always more. You can climb the mountain of God. How much of Jesus do you want? Well, how much of yourself are you willing to give? You have to be willing. If you want all of Him, you have to give all of yourself. Remember, there were 500 who saw the Lord Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. You can be one of the 500 that witnessed that. Or you can be one of the 70 that he sent out two by two. Or you can be one of the 12 that he handpicked.
Yes.
You can be one of the 3, Peter, James, and John, that he brought up to the Mount of Transfiguration, that saw the glory of the Lord. Or you can be the one, the beloved apostle, that laid his head on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. How close do you want to be to the Lord? See, it's a decision. It's your will. Your will is involved in doing all these things. You can climb the mountain of God, but it takes your will. Because, you see, family, as a spirit, you have to overcome the body. You know, I'm looking out here and I see a bunch of spirits. You're all a bunch of spirits, aren't you? Spirits that have a soul, that live in a body. And your spirit is the one that has to rule. Success begins with your decision to succeed. Now, while we're in Joshua, turn back to Deuteronomy, just a couple of pages back, Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to start with verse 11 to 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30. For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Where is the word? Well, point to it. Point. Where is your word? Right in your mouth. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right, thou shalt be delivered. Thou shalt be saved. Well, the word saved, sozo, S-O-Z-O, is an all-inclusive word. It means not only saved, it means delivered, it means healed. It is it. What is it that you want? If you say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, thou shalt receive. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Now, I can say instead of that statement, I can say, but if your heart, and the heart is wicked, isn't it? It's wicked above all else. If your wicked heart turned away and goes lusting after horoscopes, Ouija boards, fortune telling, divination, soul travel, astral projection, spiritual kicks, wanting power from the devil, that's what it really means. And you worship other gods, that's what it means, and serve them. Verse 18, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you go over the Jordan to go in and possess it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. See, family, there is a choice before us. We can choose the good, we can choose the bad. Young lady just came over to us. We were talking back there. And, you know, was talking about how could a Christian have a demon? I'm going to tell you right now. You can write this in your Bible. A Christian can have anything he wants. It's his choice. But if you really want to get the scriptures relating to that, pick up my little booklet there on the table. Can a demon have a Christian? I turned that around. And you'll find out all the scriptures relating to that. I have a woman that buys them. She buys them every time she gets 50 of them. And she goes and she gives them out indiscriminately, especially to the pastors of certain denominations. I say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You see, family, what we choose will affect our children. Some parents say, I don't know why my daughter is this way. I don't know why my son is this way. Well, they're looking at you. They're using you for an example. That's why they're that way. If you walk right before the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you and your family. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So you have to walk right to be an example to your children. You don't go smoke. You don't drink. You don't do these things because they'll do one step better than you. You smoke cigarettes, they'll smoke pot. Okay? Am I talking to the right people?
Yeah.
Amen. And you see, you have to decide to be the head and not the tail. It's up to you. I know what the word says, that he will bless you, but you have to do something about it. God never takes away free will. And when I'm ministering to people, and especially some of the tough cases where some of them find it even very hard to say the name Jesus. Some of them find it very hard, especially those that were deeply involved in occultism. I remember one time my wife and I, we were ministering, And the first thing this woman did was rip up her, off her clothes and run away from us. And I went to her and said, "Sister, if you want help, we can help you. I can help you, but you have to obey. You have to obey. The first thing you have to do is button up." And then I said, "Now I want you to declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to say Jesus." She couldn't say Jesus. I said, "Use your will." You see, the devil knows that God gave us free will. And in that, he wants to control our will. Because whoever controls this has you. You hear what I said? Whoever controls your mind has you. That's why it's important to, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, of taking every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we have to do. Brother Harris and I are walking down the street, you know, and we're just talking about the Lord, having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, right in front of us, steps some young thing, and she's moving around. And all of a sudden, one of us gets a thought in their mind. I'm not saying who's getting the thought, you know, one of us. And immediately, we have to go into warfare. Get out of my mind in the name of Jesus. You see, the first, listen to me, the first thought and the look is free. But if you dwell on it, if you entertain the thought, then you're in trouble. Then you open the door. You hear me? You have to use your will. You have to control it. You have to be the boss. Don't let the devil take over. Some of you, and I remember, I used to do it too. You're in church, and all of a sudden your mind takes a flight, daydreaming, going off somewhere, and you start to fantasize. And when you start doing that, you open the door. The devil puts all kinds of thoughts in your mind. Did you ever try to pray and your mind took a flight and some awful thoughts come in? How many have that experience? Oh, thank God, I thought it was only me. What do we have to do? Get out of my mind. And sometimes those thoughts persist. They don't want to leave. Isn't that right? So what do you do? Well, here's what I do. When I get these thoughts that don't want to get, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I... You see, I start singing. I start singing spiritual songs. You can't start singing, oh, how I love Jesus, and have the same thoughts in your mind. That's guaranteed. Amen. Change your thought patterns. Hallelujah. You see, I want you to know something. The enemy always wants to control your mind. And what he wants to do is build ungodly strongholds. This is why Paul says to pull down those strongholds. And what do you have to do? You have to build godly strongholds. How do you build godly strongholds? With the Word. Our mind is a computer bank. The more of the Word of God that we have in our mind, the more of Jesus we have. Amen. Isn't that right? Jesus is the Word. Amen. So we start building godly strongholds. The first thing I do in the morning when I get up, and I say this, I say, "Good morning, Jesus. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ will live in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and depth and length and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasseth all knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above more than I can ask or think, according to the power that works in me, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, through Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen." You see, I put in the prayer of Paul in my mind. I put the prayer of Paul in my mind. I want to be the Word made flesh. Are you hearing me? That's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse something or other. I think it's verse 11 to down to the bottom of the end of the chapter. Hallelujah. See, this is what we have to do, family. We have to build godly strongholds. You want to defeat the enemy? This is the way to do it. But you have to use your will. You have to use your will. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 5. Here was a man in the Bible that Jesus went to, in John chapter 5, and he asked him a very, very funny kind of a question. In John chapter 5, verse 1, John chapter 5, and verse 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Isn't that an odd question to ask a sick person? The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps before me." In other words, this sick person said, "I'd like to get in there, but I'm too weak. I can't get in there by myself. And somebody gets in ahead of me." See, after 38 years, I want you to know this man still had a desire to get in the pool. Now, usually people, being sick in a certain condition for 38 years, sort of give up. They get complacent. "Well, this is the way I am. This is my cross. I'm just going to take it. Nothing could happen." 38 years, they lose hope. But this man said, "I want to get in there, but there's no one to put me in there." And Jesus said, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now, I want you to picture that in your mind if you can. Here's the pool of water, and around it lay all these sick people. Modern medicine would probably call them incurable. And in their midst came Jesus, and nobody recognized him. Jesus came in their midst, and nobody recognized him. By this time, his fame had spread throughout Jerusalem. He had turned the water into wine. He had did so many miracles. And he came, the greatest doctor that ever was, that ever will be, came and stood in their midst. Nobody recognized him. You know why? They had their eyes on the pool of water. They had their faith on the pool of water. They actually believed that the first one that went in would get healed. We say, "Well, those people were silly." Well, we have done the same thing sometimes. We have put our faith in the traveling evangelist, the great minister on television, this man and that man. We've looked at a pool of water instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, who even now, he is right here in our midst. Where two or three are gathered in his name, I am there in the midst of you. You see, if you're looking at me to pray for you, I'm a pool of water. If you're looking at Brother Harris to pray for you, he's a pool of water. Are you hearing me? It is the Lord Jesus Christ that we have to have our eyes upon. We can only tell you what to do and say these things, but your will is involved. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be well? See, it's a decision that you alone can make. And then you let the greatest doctor that ever was, that ever will be, touch you. Because Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. Amen? Even though he uses instruments of clay sometimes, See, that little old lady that I talked about in Miami was going blind. She had a decision to make. She believed. She received. 2 years ago, my wife and I were in England, in Middle England, a town called Lutterworth. We were in the town hall. That's where we had our services, in the town hall of Lutterworth, right in Middle England. And while we were praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, we heard a little bit of commotion in the hallway. And a Polish woman and her daughter came. The Polish woman, elderly woman, couldn't speak English at all. The daughter spoke broken English. And the Polish woman came because she heard about my coming. We had ministered already in several other churches, and the Lord was blessing the ministry. The woman got out of a wheelchair. The deaf were hearing. The Lord just blessed her. And she came, and the daughter was very hesitant about bringing her mother because she had brought her mother to so many other places and nothing happened. And so we went out in the hallway to minister, went out of the sanctuary, went to the hallway to minister to this woman who had osteoporosis, pain in every bone of her body, living on painkillers for the last 10 years. And I asked her if she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She said, yes. I said, do you believe Jesus could heal you? She said, yes. Through the daughter. The daughter was interpreting for us. And I laid my hands, and my wife and I laid our hands on her. And again, the Lord led me to pray for the precious blood of Jesus to go into the marrow of her bones where the blood is formed and to produce healing blood and go through every bone of her body. As I was doing this, suddenly she started to weep. And I started to weep. And we fell in each other's arms weeping. And while we were weeping, she was totally healed. She believed. She expected. She wouldn't take no for an answer when her daughter said, no, let's not go. She insisted. She persisted. And she received. The compassion of Jesus came in. The precious blood of Jesus went through her blood and healed her. I said to her, do something you couldn't do before. She said, I couldn't lift up my hands to fix my hair. She said, I couldn't go above my waist. I said, well, do it now. And she sort of went like this. She sort of climbed up her body. Finally, she went like this and put her hands on her head, which she hadn't been able to do for so many years. I said, come and testify. And I brought her into the sanctuary, and she said, before I couldn't do this. She was completely free. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. Because you see, she didn't look at the pool of water, she looked at Jesus Christ. She said, yes, Jesus can do it. Are you hearing me? See, that man in John 5 had a... He formed an image after being sick for 38 years, but still, he believed that if he stepped into the pool, he believed in the pool. See, family, you must want to be delivered from your bad habits. Your decision is necessary. You must want to be healed. You must want to read the Bible. You must want to keep your healing and deliverance. Because, you know, many people lose their deliverance, lose their healing. One of the things I put in my book, 8 Keys to Spiritual and Physical Health, the last chapter, there's 15 steps on how to keep your healing and deliverance. How to keep it. The devil will always rob you. See, your will is involved in doing all this. The devil can know your will if your will is involved or not. Some people come and then just say, well, I'll try it. You know, in case it happens. Well, that's not a good attitude. You have to come expecting, receiving, and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the healer. It's your decision, indecision. You have to repent of your backsliding. You have to repent. You have to be willing to give up everything for Jesus Christ. You can't have a security blanket of your own. Some people keep a little bottle in the corner. That's a security bottle. Their blanket. Nobody touch it. After all, I'm not hurting anybody. A little nip once in a while. After all, Paul says is The wine is good for your stomach. So I'm only obeying the Bible. But the fact is, they obey the Bible too much. They take too much of that. Oh, I can give up smoking any time I want to. Oh, if I want to, I can give up smoking. I gave it up 7 times last week. See, you have to be willing. I tell people when they come, I have a bad habit. I want to be able to give up this tobacco habit or whatever it is that they have. I said, all right, give me your cigarette lighter. Give me your cigarettes. Sometimes I get them and sometimes I don't. Because if they keep it, they're in bondage. And people don't know they're in bondage. They think they can give it up anytime they want to. And some people just can't. They're in bondage. And anytime you're in bondage, there's a demon involved. Amen? It's your decision. See, our ministry, such as it is, did not happen overnight. We had a great desire to learn. I remember that I used to go every vacation that I had. I used to plan my vacation, make sure that it coincided with the Tennessee, Georgia Christian camp. That's where I met Glenn years ago. And I went there because I was hungry. I was a sponge. I wanted to learn. And I would sit in under Derek Prince and Don Basham and learn and learn and learn. And then get all their tapes. I always tell people, when you get through with this camp, make sure you arm yourself with the tapes and book. And 2 weeks from now, I say, hear those tapes over again. Hear them again. Go to deliverance again. Go to the healing session again. Go again. Hear them again. And then a couple of more weeks later, do it again. See, just shake those demons loose. They'll say, who wants to come and stay in this body? This guy has given me all these tapes all the time. I can't stand it. They'll run. There's many ways to be delivered. And especially now that we have video, show and tell. Hear it and one of these days they're going to have smell-o-vision, and then we can have it smell, see, and taste. Hallelujah. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Hallelujah. But family, I'm going to tell you something. I praise the Lord for saying yes to Him when He called my wife and I. My wife didn't want to be involved in the deliverance ministry. Did you know my wife hated the deliverance ministry? She gave me more trouble than you can shake a stick at. We were living in a little house in Miami, and people were coming, knocking on our doors, calling us up, and the phone ringing off the hook, people needing help, and people would come in. I remember one little girl full of witchcraft one time took the chair and wanted to clobber me over the head with it, broke my chair. Thank God I didn't get hit. Sitting on our sofa, wetting the sofa, and she said, who needs this? It's written in her book. If you ever want to read a story about getting involved in ministry, the testimony of a Christian woman, get my wife's book. He said, follow me. And the Lord gave her a dream one time. I hope I say this right, Evelyn. Don't jump on me if I don't say it right. He dreamt about a huge tree. And hanging on the tree was a golden watermelon. And down at the foot of the tree was two beautifully green striped watermelons. And she said, I want those green ones. They're nice and ripe and rich and red. And the Lord says, you can't have healing and the word of knowledge. That's what they were. Unless you take that golden watermelon, which is deliverance. And she said, I'll take it. Because who wants to stand in front of people and have them cough all over you, spit at you sometimes trying to kick you, trying to do all those things? Who wants to do that? Who needs it? And the Lord says, you do. I called you to do that. Oh, yes, we had some experiences sometimes with great big men, bigger than our brother here, where we had to minister, and sometimes we had to minister alone, and the Lord was teaching me how to minister, how to apply the power that is in the name of Jesus. I want you to know, in the name of Jesus, you have all the power that you need to come in against the demons. I didn't know that. I had to learn that. I remember that woman that was so demonic. She was a witch, And she was able to travel, soul travel. She was able to do all these things. And she came to our house one time, and she started to stalk me, coming toward me. I mean, she was big. She would break me in half. And I said, I put the blood of Jesus between us, and I said, this is the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the shield of the blood of Jesus. If you come near it, you burn. And she came and touched it, and she went, ouch! And then I maneuvered her like this, like this, like this, and got her right behind the door, in the corner, sitting down. We used to call that Rita's Corner. Yeah, I'm telling you what we used to do in our house. We were new in this. But the Lord was gracious, and He was showing us the power in the Word, that when we declare it, it becomes what we declare. See, but you need your will to get involved in this. Is that right, Doctor? You have to make a decision, and it costs you something. It costs you friends sometimes. A lot of people left us. And then while she was in the corner, I was able to minister to her. And I remember that big man that I was talking about, bigger than our brother here, and I put the blood of Jesus between us, and every once in a while I told him to put his hands on his knees. I paralyzed those hands in the name of Jesus Christ. And every once in a while he'd go like this, trying to get at me. And afterwards he confessed, I wanted to kill you. I say, yes, I realized that. But he couldn't, because he was bound by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, family, once you make a decision to serve the living God, and I know that some of you have come for deliverance, some of you are involved in deliverance ministry, and I'm sharing with you that once you make a decision, God is going to supply the means, and He's faithful to His Word. He's the author and finisher of our faith and yours. Amen? He will finish what He started. But you have to say yes. You have to say, I will. You have to say yes. As a pastry baker, that's what I was. I met the Lord at 53, and I used to think of retiring and traveling around the United States in my travel van and taking things easy. No, it doesn't work that way. Once you say yes, I don't think about retiring except to get 4 new tires. I'm thinking about, okay, Lord, where do you want to send us next? That's all I'm thinking about. Open the doors, Lord, and we'll say hallelujah. Let's go. Praise the Lord. You know, go and you like sleeping in different beds every once in a while. Some of the beds go this way and some of them go like that, and woo-wee. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, oftentimes your desires become His desires. Pray for the desires of your heart to be His desires. Amen? Amen. You know, Satan loves to keep you from getting what is rightfully yours. He accomplishes this through deception. He can deceive you into thinking that it is not God's will for you to be the head, for you to be healed, for you to be delivered. I want us to say right now, I decide right now, before all the angels of God, and even before all the devils of hell, that I will be made whole. I will be the head. I will be delivered. I will follow Jesus Christ. I will have eternal life with Him. Amen. Amen. See, praise the Lord. See, it says in 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. You can add to that our decision. Amen. Once you have made your decision, then stick to it. You have to be willing to have Him change you. Amen. You have to be willing to have Him change you. Now, this afternoon, I know I gave you, you know, talk on the will, but some of you are still being bugged by certain things. How many have still got a couple of bugs they'd like to get rid of? Okay. Well, we're going to get rid of a couple of bugs this afternoon. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say this now. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus
You are the deliverer.
You are the deliverer.
You also are my Lord and Savior.
You are my Lord and Savior.
You died on the cross for my sins.
You died on the cross for my sins.
And you rose again from the dead.
And you rose again from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
I am sorry for all my sins.
I am sorry for all my sins.
Thank you for forgiving me.
For cleansing me.
For justifying me.
In your precious blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I think that we should start attacking some of the demons, and if I don't name them, you can name your own demons. See, I like to teach self-deliverance. I believe that each one of us has to be an overcomer. It says in Revelation, he that overcometh, you have to be the overcomer. You have to learn what to do. All you have to do is follow the procedure that we've been doing here. See, I encourage people to use their will, and I do it by having them repeat the same thing that I'm calling out. In other words, I call out certain spirits, well, then I want you to repeat it. And the reason why I want you to repeat it is so in doing so, you are using your will in repeating it. Amen? You use your will. Like that young woman that I told you that stripped herself, she couldn't say, Jesus. I said, now, fight. Use your will. Say, Jesus. Just say the word Jesus. Finally, after a long time, she finally said, Jesus. Now say, Jesus, help me. The greatest prayer there is Jesus, help me. Then I took her a step at a time. Say, Jesus, you are my deliverer. You deliver me. And finally, she got that out. And then finally, all right, now let's get together and say this. In the name of Jesus, I command. See, you have to learn to command. You are kings and queens. You are royalty. Isn't that right? We're nations of kings and priests, Revelations 1:6. Well, then, as royalty, start commanding. I've learned to command. I command. See, you have to command. If you're wishy-washy in your mind about it, the devil will know it. And the first thing that has to go out is doubt. You have to believe what you say. In Mark chapter 11, turn to Mark chapter 11. And verse 22, Mark chapter 11. Glenn, could I have that water, please? I'm going to lead you into four steps here in overcoming the mountain. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22. The step number one is, have faith in God. Everyone say, step number one. Have faith in God. See, you have to believe that what God says in His Word, He can accomplish. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, step number two. In verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast out and be cast into the sea. Speak to the mountain. Everybody say, step number two.
Speak to the mountain.
Okay? Step number three. In the same verse. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. Okay, step number three is, does not doubt in his heart. Okay, what's step number one? Have faith in God. Step number two? Speak to the mountain. Wherever the mountain is, you speak to it. And number three, do not doubt. And number four, now forgive. Verse 25, forgive. And as you stand praying, forgive. Okay? Now we're going to mix that up. We're going to turn it around a little bit and say, we already confessed our faith in God, haven't we? We called upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's step number one. Step into number two. I want everyone to say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all doubt,
unbelief,
skepticism,
disbelief,
lack of faith, I command these spirits to leave me. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, take a deep breath. Let it out. All doubt. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. That was step number two, wasn't it? Step number three, forgiveness. We're going to change it around. Say, I forgive,
I forgive
everyone that has hurt me,
whether they're living or dead.
Even the ones I cannot now remember.
I forgive.
And I forgive myself.
And I command out of me
all spirits of unforgiveness,
resentment,
bitterness,
root of bitterness,
envy,
jealousy,
retaliation,
hatred,
and all like spirits.
All right,
take a deep breath. Now let it out.
Out
in the name of Jesus. All unbelief, all unforgiveness, all resentment, all out in the name of Jesus. Again, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Glory to God. All right, now we're going to speak to the mountain. Whatever the mountain is. Now, you ought to know what you want to get rid of. Just say, that mountain of drug addiction, that mountain of pain in my back, that mountain of whatever it is, speak to the mountain. That mountain of lust, that mountain of fear, that mountain, whatever the mountain is, and speak out loud. You may have more than one mountain that you want to get rid of. I'm teaching you self-deliverance right now. Okay? I want you to cast out your own mountain. We've had enough deliverance this week that you ought to be able to do it now by yourself. Now you start doing it. Come on, get it. Stand up. Wake up. Get up there.
How loud?
How loud? That's right. Say, you mountain of fear, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Then take a deep breath and let it out. You mountain of pain, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and cast it out. Come on, start doing it. Start doing it. Start taking care of your own mountain. Start casting out that your own mountain. That's it. You mountain of fear, you mountain of lust, I command you to go. You mountain of drugs, you mountain of tobacco, you mountain of nicotine, you mountain of addiction, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. You keep casting it out. Come on. That's it. Nobody's listening to you. Go ahead and do it. They have their own trouble. That's it. You mountain of eye problems, you mountain of deafness, you mountain of hyperglycemia, whatever it is, you mountain of diabetes, you mountain of heart trouble, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. That's right. Cast it out. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Now I want you to say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Spirit of the living God.
Spirit of the living God.
Please come into me.
Please come into me.
With all that you are.
With all that you are.
And take the place.
And take the place.
Of all these demons.
All these demons.
That we have cast out.
We command them to leave
the
sanctuary,
to leave our cars,
our homes,
not to come back,
in the name of Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit,
teach me
how to keep my deliverance,
my healing,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and bless you. Bless you for this meeting. Bless you for our stay here at Lake Hamilton. And we ask you to bless these, our brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen. This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.